Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. Verse 27 of Deuteronomy 14, "You shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you." Meaning if you don't share with the priests and Levites, they will starve. Or they leave God's service and turn to manual labor. Keep that in mind when we get to Malachi, because that's what Malachi is about. So verse 28, we'll end up our portion in Deuteronomy 14. It says, "At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied." So the tithe was also used to feed the poor. The stranger is the non-Jew. He doesn't own any land. How's he going to eat from the tithe? The fatherless and the widow, meaning the abandoned children and the widows.
Does that mean they don't bring it to the temple?
It's at the end of every third year, there's a different use of the tithe.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The Jewish people said this is an additional tithe. It doesn't say that here, but that was their custom. Okay. Now on to Deuteronomy 26.
Does that include their years? Were they supposed to count the Sabbath year in that 30 years? Or is that... Because nobody was supposed to...
You weren't supposed to grow, so you didn't tithe on the seventh year.
That's Jubilee?
No, the seventh year is the Sabbath year. The Jubilee is every 50th year.
Okay.
So the 49th year you didn't grow, and the 50th year you didn't grow either. This is only on what grows.
Okay. We're in a Jubilee year now.
We are in a Jubilee year now. Mm-hmm. If you believe those who say we're in a Jubilee year now. You can't prove it from the Bible, but that's what some commentators say. What I say is, let's wait till Rosh Hashanah, and then I'll tell you for sure if it was or wasn't. Deuteronomy 26. Verse 12. Let's do verse 1. I put it down here because in the comments in the New King James Bible, it mentions the word tithe. Deuteronomy 26, 1. "And it shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it." That's when these things come into effect. Verse 12. "When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year," that's that one for the strangers and the widow and the Levites, etc., "the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, so that they may eat within your gates and be filled, then you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house and have also given them to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, according to all your commandments which you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commandments, nor have I forgotten them." See, this was important to the Lord. Now let's go to 2 Chronicles. That's it from the Torah. That's all the tithe is mentioned in the Torah. 2 Chronicles.
The first five books?
First five books. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Miss Lucy, I promise you we'll get to Amos eventually. I just want to make sure I answer the questions. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 5. We'll start in verse 4 for context. "Moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and Levites that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord.
As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of grain and wine, oil and honey, and of all the produce of the field. And they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. But notice it's the increase of the land. Verse 6, and the children of Israel and Judah who dwelt in the cities of Judah brought the tithe of oxen and sheep, also the tithe of holy things which were consecrated to the Lord their God, they laid in heaps. Then in verse 12, again, verse 11 for context. The key is 12, but 11 starts the thought. Now Hezekiah, who's Hezekiah? He's king. He was a godly king. They found that Israel had not been doing these things, and Hezekiah said, God commanded it, we're going to do it. Amen. So it says, now Hezekiah commanded them to prepare rooms in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them. What's the house of the Lord?
Temple.
The temple. So they're preparing rooms for what?
Storage.
Verse 12, then they faithfully brought in the offerings, the tithes, and the dedicated things. So there's a storeroom, a storehouse in the temple where these things are stored for the priests and the Levites. Keep that in mind when we come to Malachi.
Malachi 3.
Mm-hmm. When we come to Malachi. That's all in Chronicles. Let's go up to Nehemiah. Nehemiah is the children of Israel, Judah in particular, having gone into the Babylonian captivity, are coming home. Nehemiah chapter 10. Why did the children of Israel spend 70 years in captivity? That's the number of Sabbath years they failed to keep. Every seventh year is a Sabbath year. And they hadn't kept it for 70 times. So they spent 70 years in captivity so the land could rest. Nehemiah chapter 10. Start in verse 35 for context, but the key verses are 37 and 38. 35 for context. And we made ordinances to bring the first fruits of our ground and the first fruit of all trees year by year to the house of the Lord. To bring the firstborn of our sons and our cattle, as it is written in the Lord, and the firstborn of our herds and our flocks to the house of our God, to the priests who minister in the house of our God. By the way, it mentions the firstborn of the sons. That refers to the priests, the Levites, because they were set aside special. Verse 37, to bring the first fruits of our dough, our offerings, the fruit from all kinds of trees, the new wine and oil to the priests, to the storerooms of the house of our God. Those are the ones that were built by Hezekiah. And to bring the tithes of our land to the Levites, for the Levites should receive the tithes in all our farming communities. See any patterns? Nehemiah chapter 12. Verse 44. And at the same time, some were appointed over the rooms of the storehouse, that's in the temple, for the offerings, the first fruits, and the tithes, to gather into them, God bless you, from the fields of the cities, the portion specified by the law, that's the Torah, for the priests and Levites, for Judah rejoiced over the priests and Levites who ministered. Nehemiah chapter,
Question.
Question, go ahead.
So the grains and types of vegetables all would have been stored in the storehouse in the temple.
Correct.
The animals that were dedicated to the Lord would have been taken out into the fields and kept for the use of the Levites.
I guess so. Mm-hmm. Okay. You mean before they're killed?
Yeah.
Because you don't kill them all on one day. Feast and then starve for the rest of the year. You're correct. There was a place where they kept them. Uh-huh. But they didn't own that land. It was special for... Like, where was Messiah born?
Bethlehem.
Sort of. It's actually the shepherd's field, which is at Bethlehem. A place called Migdal Eder is the shepherd's field. Those fields were not owned by people. That was actually part of the temple land. And the sheep that were raised there, when the shepherds saw the angels come announce Messiah's birth, those shepherds were Levites, and the sheep were those for the temple.
Amen. Bethlehem means house of bread, and he said, I am the bread of life.
Correct. And this is the Bethlehem in Ephrata. Ephrata means fruitful.
He's the first fruit.
He is, yeah.
I don't know if there's an answer to this, but you said that they had to eat the tithe in Jerusalem. So
uh-huh.
What did the priests who weren't in Jerusalem at the time eat?
Uh-huh. That's the tithe of the third year that is shared with the priests and the Levites who live outside of Jerusalem. See, they go to Jerusalem twice a year, plus at the three pilgrim festivals, but the rest of the time they live out amongst the people. They don't own land out there, so how do they eat from the third year tithe?
There must have been an abundance of tithe.
Yeah. God provided. If the people would just do as God commanded, he provided bountifully. Deuteronomy 28 promised it.
Jehovah.
Mm-hmm. 1244, Nehemiah 1244. Did we read that yet? I don't think so.
We did?
Okay. Then on to chapter 13, verse 5. Chapter 13, verse 5. Remember, Solomon's temple, where Hezekiah had built the storerooms, had been destroyed. Children of Israel are going back to rebuild the temple.
About the Babylonians or the Syrians?
Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple. Nehemiah 13, verse 5. And he had prepared for him a large room. That's Eliashib the priest. Where previously they had stored the grain offerings, the frankincense, the articles, the tithes of grain, the new wine and oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites and singers and gatekeepers, any offerings for the priests. So when they rebuild the temple, they rebuild the storehouses. Chapter 13, verse 12. Then all Judah brought the tithe of the grain and the new wine and the oil to the storehouse. That's in the temple. Why do they bring it there? Because that's where God said to take it. Now we have to go up to Amos, chapter 4. See, I told you we'd get to Amos today. If you really want to offend the Jewish theologians in Jerusalem, go out to Ben Yehuda Street and start talking about the Christian tithe. And they say, if you could only read the Bible. Amos chapter 4, verse 4. Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. You see how God's mad about it?
Yeah.
Are they bringing the tithe to Jerusalem, to the temple? No. Where are they taking them? Bethel and Gilgal. These are centers of pagan idolatry in the northern kingdom. So God says, you're tithing every 3 days, but you're not doing it as I said it was to be done. They were bringing these tithes to the pagan gods and the pagan priests. And as you're going to find when we study Amos a little further, God is not impressed.
Amen.
Malachi chapter 3. Every sermon that I've ever heard on the tithe came from Malachi chapter 3. And every time without exception, they stop in the middle of the teaching. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Because they don't want to hear the rest. The rest doesn't fit their point. Malachi 3, 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me! Exclamation mark. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. What are they doing? Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? Those are those rooms in the temple where the food is stored for the priests and the Levites. He says, that there may be food in my house. See what's happened? The people don't believe that God's going to provide the bounty he promised, so they're not bringing the tithe because we want to build up our own personal wealth. We want to fill up our barns. If the people don't bring the tithe to the storehouse, what do the priests and the Levites do? they leave the temple. They stop bringing the services and the worship to God, and they go out to raise food for their families. So verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. My house is the temple. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Ooh, Lord of hosts, what's coming? Judgment. God's mad about this. He says, try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. That's the rain. And pour out for you such blessing that there will be not enough room to receive it. He says, I will send the rains and the ground's going to produce wheat and wine and new oil such that you won't even be able to receive it all. So God says, you've done exactly the wrong thing. You've stopped bringing the tithe to the temple, and that causes me to withhold the rain, and that causes famine. It causes you not to have enough, so you won't take any to the temple. He said, instead, if you'll be faithful and do as I said and bring it to the temple, the priests will do their services unto me on your behalf. The priests and Levites were representing the people. They will bring the services on your behalf, and I will send the rain, and you won't be able to build enough barns to contain the wheat, enough vats for the wine, enough vats for the oil. That's the last that the tithe is mentioned in what we call the Old Testament, or the Tanakh. So let's jump up to the New Testament. Maybe in the New Testament somewhere Yeshua said, bring me all your money. He doesn't, no. We'll get there. Be patient. But the answer is no, not even then. Matthew 23, verse 23. Messiah is mad at the scribes and the Pharisees because they're hypocrites. They pretend to be devoted to God. Remember what he said in Mark 7? These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, teaching his doctrine the commandments of men. So verse 23, Matthew 23, woe to you, scribes and hypocrites, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. If you're not a horse, woe is a bad thing. Judgment's coming. For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. These are the smallest of the agricultural products, even down to the little seeds that grow in the land. And have neglected the weightier matters of the law. He doesn't say the tithe is bad. He says this is your interest. You're interested in the financial aspects. Matthew 23, verse 23. Did I have you in the wrong place?
No, I
haven't. Okay. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. Meaning they're following the minutiae of the tithing requirements down to the little seeds and the little leaves. Is that the most important part of the Torah? No. It says, and have neglected the weightier matters of the Torah, that is justice and mercy and faith. If you have no faith, it doesn't matter what part of the Torah you keep, you're not going to please God. Without faith, you cannot please God. It says, these you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Is there any mention there of bringing your silver and your gold? No. Luke chapter 11. It's the same story, but I told you I'd take you to every occurrence, whether you like it or not. No, that's not what I mean. Luke chapter 11. We're almost done. Luke chapter 11, verse 42. Luke chapter 11, verse 42. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, all agricultural products, and pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving others undone. Any mention of money? Nope. Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 12, is where we give rise to the controversy in Romans chapter 14. Luke chapter 18, verse 12. And we'll start in verse 11 for context. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I like that. Did he pray to God? No, he's just praying to himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. That's that Monday and Thursday, or Tuesday, whichever it was, 2 days a week of Romans 14, Monday and Thursday. Did God command that? No. These are the man-made rules and regulations. So he says, I follow the man-made rules and regulations to the letter. Is that supposed to impress God? He says, I give tithes of all that I possess. Did God command you to tithe of all that you possess? No. So he's again talking man-made rules and regulations, but if you were to ask him, this is agricultural products anyway. Now the tithe is not mentioned again until the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews is not talking about the tithe as you and I would call it. It's about what Abraham gave voluntarily to Melchizedek. So Hebrews chapter 7 is the only other place the tithe is mentioned.
And Melchizedek was Christ pre-incarnate?
Yes. How do we know that? Because in Hebrews chapter 7 it says he was without beginning, without end, being a priest forever, no mother, no father, no genealogy.
King of peace and king of righteousness was his name, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What about the woman that gave that mite in the temple that Jesus observed?
We'll talk about that.
Is that a tax?
No. That was just an offering. Remember it talks about tithes and offerings. Offerings are different. Offerings are voluntary. Tithe is mandatory. Hebrews chapter 7. There is a mandatory monetary requirement. And that's what comes when we flip the page. But first, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 5. And indeed, we'll start in verse 4 for context. Now consider how great this man was, that's Melchizedek, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. That's the spoils of war. That's something entirely different. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi who received the priesthood, now we're talking about the tithe, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is from their brethren, though they've come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them, that's Yeshua, that's Melchizedek, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here, that is on earth, in the Jerusalem temple, mortal men, those of the Levites, receive tithes. But there, that is in the heavenly heights, he receives them, that's Yeshua, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. That's the point Karen and I were talking about last night. Each of us is one self from our mother and one from our father. So we are considered to have been part of them and with them when they did whatever they did. And they were two selves from their parents, and et cetera, et cetera. And that goes all the way back to Adam. So we are a part of Adam and a part of Eve. So we, each and every one of us, were there in the Garden of Eden. Even though we hadn't been born yet, we were there in our ancestors. And we ate from the tree. Each and every one of us, we ate from the tree that God forbid. Okay, there is no other mention of the tithe in the scriptures. But there is a mandatory money requirement. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 to 16. Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 to 16. Give me thumbs up when you're there, because some of you are still turning pages. You're holding your thumb up while you're turning pages. That's not fair. Okay. Exodus 30, verse 11. Are we there? Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, saying again means a quote. What follows is from the Lord's own lips. When you take the census of the children of Israel for their number, then every man shall give a ransom for himself to the Lord. When you number them, that there may be no plague among them when you number them. This is what everyone among those who are numbered shall give: half a shekel, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs. The half shekel shall be an offering to the Lord. Everyone included among those who are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering to the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when you make an offering to the Lord to make atonement for yourselves. Last time I was in Israel, a shekel was a quarter. So a half a shekel, 12 and a half cents, was what God demanded from every male in Israel 20 years old and above. And it had to be silver. Let's read on, verse 16. And you shall take the atonement money of the children of Israel, shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord to make atonement for yourselves. In Scripture, in prophecy, and all, silver represents atonement. So the silver half shekel that every man 20 years old and above had to give was used to make implements in the temple because they wear out. So how do you get more silver? That half shekel was required to come from every person in Israel. And then in Exodus chapter 38, it tells us how they used the silver half shekel. For those of you who were here a month or so ago, I brought in a silver half shekel to show everybody because they've started the silver half shekel project again. We're going to Exodus chapter 38. Matt has a picture on his phone back there of one. And the reason the project has started is very devious, and I've been a part of it, and I'm proud to be a part of it. When we send those silver half shekels into Jerusalem, the Bible says they cannot use it for anything but the implements of the temple. So they're collecting these half shekels saying, now we have to build the temple.
So like building a menorah or something like that, melt it down, using it for something like
exactly.
That?
Exactly. The menorah is gold, but there were other implements in the temple that were silver. So we're in Exodus 38, verses 24 to 28. Exodus 38, verses 24 to 28. It says, all the gold that was used in all the work of the holy place that's in the tabernacle, later the temple, that is the gold of the offering, was 29 talents and 730 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and the silver from those who were numbered. This is that silver half shekel. The congregation was 100 talents and 1,775 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. A bekah for each man, that is half a shekel, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. For everyone included in the numbering from 20 years old and above, for 603,550 men. And from the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary and the bases of the veil. 100 sockets from the 100 talents, one talent for each socket. Then from the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks for the pillars, overlaid their capitals, and made bands for them. So this silver half shekel was used in building the tabernacle. What's that?
The poles that went around.
Maybe that held the veil up?
The veil has silver weights at the bottom to keep it from blowing in the wind, and the hooks at the top are silver. Things like that. Is yes, sir.
In verse 29.
In verse 29.
It mentions an offering of bronze.
Yes.
So there was an offering of silver.
There's offerings of silver, gold, and bronze. The only one required was the silver.
Oh, okay. Required.
What God had said was, anybody wants to bring gold, silver, bronze to the sanctuary building project, bring it. And they brought so much, Moses had to stop them and say, don't bring us any more. The difference between an offering and a tithe is an offering is voluntary. Tithe is mandatory. So is this silver half shekel mentioned in the New Testament? It is in Matthew chapter 17.
Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website.